Who is declaring all this is going to happen to Israel? God. You reckon he must be a little bit ticked off at them? Would you like for God to get ticked off at you? No, I don't believe I want him ticked off at me. Verse 15. And I will destroy the beautiful homes of the wealthy. Now, do we have any beautiful homes in America? Oh, my lands. We got so many homes. You know, I'm amazed at the people that called me today. I'm behind on my house payment. Can you help me? Well, how much is your house payment? $1,500, $2,000 a month. What? You got a house payment that's $1,500 or $2,000? And, of course, the other day, one of the ladies was telling me that a house that she cleans, she comes out here and does some cleaning for us once in a while. She said she just cleaned a house over in Colleyville. The house payments were $10,000 a month. Can you imagine that? No, that's right. I ain't never made that kind of money. If I had that kind of money, I'm going to tell you, if I had $100 million in the bank, I would not have a house payment that was $10,000 a month. You know, I guess I'm too cheap. First of all, I can't stand, if I had a house that cost me $10,000 a month payments, that's $120,000 a year. That means that house must be worth $4, 5, or $6 million. I couldn't stand to think about paying the taxes on that thing every year. That would just, I mean, if I had $5 million in the bank and I had to go out and draw out it once a year, $100,000 to pay the taxes on that, I couldn't stand that. You know, that's awful to think about that. So I'd rather live in my little tin shed. I mean, I get tickled. People say, you know, I've had people come here and say, I've heard you talk about your tin shed on tape, so I want to see your tin shed. Okay, so I take them back through the minister center back in there where I built a tin shed, and I did fix it up fairly nice on the inside. You know, I put the walls in it just like these. Of course, this building here is made out of tin, you know, steel, you know, and inside it's not bad, is it? If you can't live in this, you got a problem. You come out here and say, well, you don't have a $3 million sanctuary, so I can't come to church here. Okay, fine. Go find you a $3 million sanctuary and go to church. But I don't have a note on this one. You know, this one, we built it and paid for it as we went, and we have never owed a dime on this building. And that's the way I like it. You know, there's no debt here. We've never been in debt. But the Lord says, I will destroy the beautiful homes of the wealthy, their winter mansions and their summer houses too, all their palaces filled with ivory. The Lord, have spoken. Now, who's going to do all this devastation? God. So would it be a good idea to kind of try to make him happy? Let's go to Amos chapter 4, and let's read a little more in this. Listen to me, you fat cows. Uh-oh. Ooh. I don't like to be called a fat cow, do you? But he says, listen to me, you fat cows of Samaria, you women who oppress the poor and crush the needy and who are always asking your husband for another drink. I mean, it's in the scripture now. I didn't write this special. This is in God's word. I didn't make this up. You know, this is here. You're always asking your husband for another drink. I mean, man, do we have people like that today? Mm-hmm. We literally have people that are drinkers and cussers and profaners of God's word. I mean, you see them everywhere. It's just amazing. It says, the sovereign Lord has sworn this by his holiness. The time will come when you will be led away with hooks in your noses. Every last one of you will be dragged away like a fish on a hook. Now, I don't think these people are going to like this, do you? But now, see, when he gets upset with sin, he really knows how to hurt a guy. But this is God. Verse 3 and 4. You will leave by going straight through the breaks in the wall. You will be thrown from your fortresses. I, the Lord, have spoken. Go ahead and offer your sacrifices to the idols at Bethel and Gilgal. Keep on disobeying. Your sins are mounting up. Offer sacrifices each morning and bring your tithe every 3 days. Now, obviously, God's not happy with none of this, is he? He's telling them what they're doing. In other words, they're offering their offerings. They're bringing their tithe in every 3 days. They're doing all kinds of things. But let's see what he's not pleased with this. Verse 5 says, present your bread made with yeast as an offering of thanksgiving. Then give your extra voluntary offering so you can brag about it everywhere. This is the kind of thing you Israelites love to do, says the Sovereign Lord. I brought hunger to every city and famine to every town, but you still won't return to me, says the Lord. Now wait a minute, who did this? I brought hunger to every city and famine to every town. So when there is hunger and famine, who is responsible for it? What's he trying to do? Get people to acknowledge he's God. Is that why he's doing this? Sure, it happens all over. Now, is there people in America, you would never think that a city like Dallas-Fort Worth, the Metroplex, would have anybody that couldn't find a job and was hungry and went to bed hungry every night. But do you know that this city has numerous people that are hungry, don't have a place to stay, that are sleeping on the streets? You know that? I learned real easy. The first time I come to Fort Worth as a young man, of course, I was raised in a little country town, and there was nobody in that little country town, only about 1,800 people. But I knew most of the people, and there was nobody that I knew went to bed hungry in that little town. You know, if somebody had a need, somebody would meet that need. Everybody's door was open to everybody all the time. So when somebody had a need, we helped them. You know, that's just the way life was, you know. I mean, little bitty tiny house I was raised up in out in the country, I mean, there was no way you could have locked a window or a door in that house. You know, it didn't have no locks. So if somebody came by, you know, if they wanted to come in, the door, usually there was nothing closed but a screen door, so they could just open the door and come in. You know, and if mom and dad had to be home and somebody happened to come by and they even looked hungry, mom would call them and say, hey, you look hungry. Do you need something to eat? And mom would invite them in and feed them. That's the way we lived. So I was raised up like that. So I've come to Fort Worth one day and I'm walking down the street and there's an old guy on the street and he comes up to me and he says, sir, he said, can you give me a quarter for a hamburger? I said, why, sure. I said, you're hungry? He said, yeah, I hadn't eaten in 3 days. Why, man, I reached in my pocket and, you know, and of course, back in those days, you know, a quarter, you know, you wouldn't think that's a lot of money, but I was making about 75 cents an hour working, you know, so that's, you know, like giving somebody, you know, $3 or $4 or $5 a day at least. So I give him a quarter. And I thought, that poor guy, I felt so sorry for him. So I walked down to the corner and I wonder what that guy's going to do. And he walked around the corner. I thought, well, that's not a place to get something to eat. Where's he going? So I walked down there, and when I walked around the corner, he had his bottle out drinking some whiskey. And I thought, this guy's a drunk. I thought you said you were hungry. He said, well, I am. I said, well, then why don't you take that quarter and go buy you a hamburger? He said, well, I don't want one. I'd rather have a drink. I learned a real lesson right there as a young man. I learned that everybody I see, I can't trust. I mean, from the little town I come to, I thought I could trust everybody. My dad taught me to trust everybody and to be trustworthy. If I tell somebody something, hey, it's the gospel. You know, and so I thought, wow, I didn't realize there was people like this in the town. But I found out they were. This is the kind of thing Israel loved to do, says the Sovereign Lord. I brought hunger to every city and famine to every town, but still you wouldn't return to me, says the Lord. Even that guy sitting on that street, why is that guy suffering what he's suffering? Because God is trying to get that man's attention. You know, that man, he has the privilege, if he wants to change. He don't have to sit there on that street and beg money, does he, Scott? He could find something to do. He could get a job. But he don't want one, you know. So what do? We help him. We help him. But next time after that, when I'd run into some guy, in fact, here a while back, I drove down the street, as we all know, over in 35, over there close to Harry Hines, you see people, men or women, standing on the at the intersections, you know, the red lights, where they're signed up. Work for money, you know, work for food or whatever, you know, or I'm on the way to Tulsa and I need money. Hunger, my children hadn't eaten, all kinds of signs, you see all this stuff. So I pulled up beside one of them the other day. I said, "You really hungry?" He said, "Yes, I am." I said, "Get in. I'm going to take you down the street and buy you a hamburger." No, I don't want to go down there and get a hamburger." I said, "I thought you said you were hungry." He said, "Well," I said, "Gil, come over and get in. I'm going to run you down here at that McDonald's. I'm going to buy you a hamburger." He said, no, just give me the dollar." I said, "No, I ain't going to give you nothing. If you're hungry, I'm going to take you down there and feed you." He said, "Well, forget it. Go on. I don't want you." He didn't want me. All he wanted was my money. He could care less. He was lying from the start. But then again, sometimes, you know, I was sitting there in front of the little hotel. I'd picked up a couple of ladies over at the train station that come to a healing school from Oklahoma. I sat in there talking to those two ladies underneath that little awning before they got out to go to the hotel. All of a sudden, the guy come up and tapped on my window. I turned around and looked at him. I said, "What do you need?" He said, I forgot, Tulsa or somewhere. And he said, "My car broke down, and I'm trying to get me and my wife and kids up there. And I got to have some money." I said, "Are you telling me the truth?" He said, "Yes, sir, I'm telling you the truth." I said, "Okay." I reached in my billfold. I got it. He asked me for a dollar. I handed him a $10 bill. I said, "This is from Jesus." And I said, "If you lied to me, it'll curse you. If you tell me the truth, it'll bless your socks off." So I said, "You'll know. You'll understand. If everything in your world falls apart, you know you lied to me. But if you told me the truth, I'm going to ask God to bless you with this." He took the $10 and left. So I believe he was telling me the truth. Somebody says, "I didn't know we could do something like that." Yeah, you can. You can speak a blessing or a curse on somebody. And, you know, the Lord says, "I brought hunger to every city and famine to every town, but still you wouldn't return to me." Let's go to verse 7 and 8. "I kept the rain from falling when you needed it the most, ruining all your crops. I sent rain on one town, but withheld it from another. Rain fell on one field while another field withered away."
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, "Devastation Brings Us Back to God," in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.